Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Now, last week on the show, we tried to connect with the scuba cowboy who was underground diving in Bon Terre mines, and we couldn't connect with him because, of course, the phones wouldn't work underground. And, you know, we don't plan correctly sometimes here on the on this show. So we've tried to reconnect now that he's above ground and can talk about his experience at this dive facility. And the scuba cowboy is with us right now. Pup, how are you, buddy?
Oh, fantastic, man, as always. I got a chance to go diving, you know?
Yes, you know, it sounds like he's right here with us because we got him connected via Skype. We weren't going to rely on these two tin cans and a wire anymore, or these cell phones that don't work underground, let alone half the time above ground. But we got you via Skype, so we got a good connection. So let's talk about this place. First of all, where is it exactly? I know a lot of the folks up there at in Chicagoland go to Bon Terre Mine, so it's somewhere in the Midwest, I'm guessing, right? Where?
It is, but it's kind of toward the south. I mean, it's about, I would say, about an hour south of St. Louis. But, yeah, there was actually quite a few people. There was people all the way from Arizona. There was people from Chicago. I was shocked at the variety of people that came to this event. You know, it's a treasure hunt is what they have. Obviously, the mine is open, I think, all year because it's underground. It's the same temperature underground. It really doesn't change, even if you got snow on the surface.
Right.
But this particular event was the big treasure hunt that they, you know, is purportedly the largest one in North America. So.
Really? So I didn't know that, but I knew they've been doing this event every year. We've talked about going out there before, but I've just never been able to work it out with our schedule. But they had talked to you, I believe, in Chicago or something and said, hey, Scuba Cowboy, come on out. Let's make this happen. And you drove down from your neck of the woods and took a look around. So the way it's been described to me in the past and what you have just said sounds to me like one of the springs that we have in Central Florida, like Devil's Den or something like that, that's kind of a spooky cave kind of dive site. Is that how you would describe it there, Pup, or what? What do you think?
It is, definitely. I mean, the first thing you do is you walk in a door, you know, it's got a building, and then you go downstairs, and I think they said you go like 80 feet down before you're even down there. You know, you go down a bunch of steps, and then all of a sudden you walk out, and boom, there's this little lake, like underground. I mean, this whole entire mine and all the shafts and everything has slowly, you know, the aquifer lets the water back in, and it's slowly filled up, and it's literally like 100 billion gallon lake.
So it's like diving through a cave system. I mean, or it is a cave system, I guess, or a man-made
cave.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. The key advantage is that, like I said, you could literally dive all year round because the ground, the temperature under the ground, although it's not balmy, it stays consistent. So it's about like what we do our deep watering down in Blue Hole. It's about 61 to 62 degrees, something like that. Wow. Not real warm, but the visibility down there is incredible. It's 100-foot vis in a cave.
And do you got to worry about silting it up a little bit too, or not so much in this particular type of environment? What do you think?
Well, if you got down real close to the bottom, sure. But you're talking, there's areas where it's more than 100 foot deep. I mean, this is huge. The caverns, when you walk in, even there's an entire like dock that's built on the edge of the lake. it's like a floating dock where they have all the tanks, you know, the air compressors, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's just massive. And so the water is so deep that sure, if you get down to the bottom, I'm sure you're going to kick up some silt, but you got lots of room where you can see everything and not get anywhere near the bottom. They've got old, you know, literally it looks like a miniature locomotive train, which is the small engine that used to pull the mining cars. Like one of those sunk down there. And then you got the old tracks and the old mining shacks, and you might see an old hammer here or there or whatever. It's just, it's an old mine.
Now, Bill, the producer last week wanted to know just exactly how many of the seven dwarfs did you get a glimpse of while you were there at Bonterra Mines?
I know. I'm sure Bill did. I actually didn't get a chance to see any of them, but we did get a very special. The vendors all get to kind of dive the day before the event, so we got to dive Friday night. So we get to go kind of on a special path because they have each one of the trails in the mine is very clearly marked. They have guides that take you there. They got somebody in front, somebody in back, making sure no one gets lost on any side channels or anything. These guys literally could do this in the dark. I mean, without a flashlight. These guys know the mine so well. Mm-hmm. But we got to go kind of on a special trip, so I don't even know what our trail was called. It was kind of a combination of all the trails. But some of the tunnels are completely submerged. There's, you know, short bursts where maybe 30 yards, there is no surface. You know what I'm saying? You're not coming up for air. But they let you know ahead of time, and they only take the divers, of course, that are comfortable with that type of situation, and, you know, explain exactly what's going on, the real good dive briefing. And it was fascinating to see how huge it was and just how clear the water was. It was phenomenal. And, of course, the fact that you're right in the middle of, you know, the mountains of Missouri, basically the rolling hills, and all of a sudden there's this huge, deep dive site right there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, a very unique place. And like I said, I've heard about it for years. I just haven't been there. Now, because the water is so clear, I know they have it all lit up. Just like they would, like Mammoth Cave or something, if you're walking through that there, I guess. I mean, that's how it sounds in some of the pictures that I've seen online from Bonterra Mine, how it looks to me. But it also, I would imagine, could look a little creepy. I mean, does it feel a little creepy as well? Or is that that sense of like, ooh, you never know what's around the next stalactite or locomotive or mine thing, is, you know, underwater ghosts and stuff. It seems to have that kind of foreboding to some of the pictures and videos I've seen. Is it true? Am I right or no?
I would definitely say so. I mean, it's got that mystique, I think, is really kind of the word you're looking for. And it has that because you're thinking, wow, you know, I wonder how many people actually worked in this mine at some time. I wonder how many trains. I wonder, you know, if there was a cave-in ever or something, some spur where, you know, something happened. I didn't really get a chance to study a lot of the history, but they own the whole property around there. So there's all kinds of really nice history. In fact, they've kind of snapped up the little town, little chunks of the town there. They have a church that's kind of right across the parking lot that they've turned into an event center. And they even own like the train depot. So literally my room for the weekend was an old converted train car that's been converted into a bed and breakfast room. It's the cutest thing you ever saw.
Nice.
It's really neat.
Like an old ghost town were they mining?
Exactly.
They were mining for gold, I assume. Is that what it was or something else?
No, they told me it was mostly silver and lead.
Okay.
And the first thing, of course, that people think about is, oh, is there any lead in the water? But this is something interesting that I didn't know, is that lead is one of the few things that no matter what, you can literally have chunks of lead in the water. It's not soluble at all. It won't absorb into the water. So there's no dangerous chemicals. Literally, you could drink the water that you're swimming in. It's like swimming in the aquifer of my well out here. You've been to my place, Greg.
Yeah.
The well's right down, you know, the well's right down 150 feet underneath, you know, just to the side of the house. But that's where it's at. That's what it's like. It's like you're swimming in the aquifer for the whole town. He pumps out water to different, you know, facilities and stuff and what have you. It's like drinking water that you're swimming in. It's incredible how clear it is.
It's like diving in a bottle of Evian or something, yeah, maybe.
Pretty much. That's underwater, or that's underground, rather, and chilled already. But
yeah.
They even have boat tours and stuff. That's how big these caves are.
Really?
They actually have tours. Well, you don't have to be a diver. Yeah, they had groups coming through that day that would just get on a boat, and they take them down certain, you know, spurs of the mine, because not all of them are completely flooded. Again, there's only some of the side channels where, you know, short bursts, you can go completely underwater. But there's also areas, like I said, where you can take a boat and go down there. And it's just kind of a neat thing. I mean, it's quite a historical tour is kind of the way they have it set up. And so there's those people as well as the divers. The diving thing seems to be just hugely popular, particularly this treasure hunt, because they give away so many gifts. You know, basically everybody goes down. They've got them broken into groups of divers, and they go down, they find coins, they come up, and then with their coins, they get to bid on all these great prizes.
It sounds like a great event. Bonterre Mines, the Scuba Cowboy was there for their big treasure hunt last weekend. Maybe next year we'll have to bring the Scuba Radio crew and throw some mermaids into the mix. It sounds like a nice, cool environment for them to swim around in as well. All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterkay.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Crusader, naked scuba boy, naked scuba boy, he roamed the earth. Naked scuba boy, naked scuba boy, he swam the sea.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We have our own superhero here in the dive industry, Naked Scuba Boy. He wears a mask, and that's pretty much it. And that describes a lot of divers. Whether you wear anything else, I guess, is your own prerogative. But, hey, if that's all you wear, you could have your own song and be a superhero. I mean, I assume he's a superhero. I don't know what his superpower is, Naked Scuba Boy, but maybe Roz does. Yes, our UK correspondent is on the line, Roz. And I don't know, Roz, what do you think? Naked Scuba Boy's superpower should be what? What do you think? You have any suggestions?
I think he might attract the fish.
Might attract the fish with his super worm. Is that what you're saying? Oh, brother.
After all, water magnifies, Greg, so Who knows?
Well, okay. Maybe that's super something. I don't know if it's a power, but hey, chicks dig it. That's all you need. All right. Well, moving on to more important things. Last time we checked in with you, Roz, you were just coming back from Grand Cayman and Inner Space, where now you're a Poseidon ambassador for their Poseidon rebreather, correct?
That's right. We spoke at Long Beach, didn't we? And I was rigged up in my new harness from Dive Right.
Oh, that's right. I mean, what am I talking about? It was like 3 weeks ago we were hanging. What am I? You know, see, I can't keep our meeting straight. Yeah, we had a great time there in Long Beach, didn't we?
It was a very good show. It was a fun show. There were a lot of people there. There was a lot of industry folk there. The party was great. Caught up with a load of news. It's a very, very happy show as well. I mean, how can you not be happy in Long Beach with all those flowers and the architecture?
Is that what it was? I thought it was more of the crazies that are out there on the left coast. There's some unique individuals out there. You hear what I'm saying, Roz? Or do they just kind of fit into your, you know, mindset there in the UK? But I'll tell you, from us in Florida, and when I go out to Long Beach and just hang out on the left coast for a while and meet some of the divers and stuff, they're just more colorful. They're a unique breed in that part of the U.S. Do you see that from where, you know, from your neck of the woods there across the pond? Do you see anything different in Long Beach compared to what we would see for the group of divers maybe at Beneath the Sea in New Jersey? Or what do you think?
Greg, I have to let you into a little secret here.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I'm English, aren't I? So when I come to America, everybody's slightly different.
Yes, we're all slightly twisted, is what you're trying to say? Is that what you're trying to say, nicely and politely?
I can't possibly comment.
It's a compliment. Okay. Well, you know, it is. Of course it is. And I mean it that way as well. I mean, they're entertaining people. I see the folks out on the left coast just a little bit more unique from what we're used to dealing with in other parts of the country. I mean, all the Hollywood types and... And, you know, we met a few other... I was hanging with a ghost hunter last time we were there in Long Beach. Did you meet her, by the way? Did you meet the ghost hunter?
Who is she?
Well, Valentina, our left coast correspondent. She's also a ghost hunter. I got to catch up with her and get her back on the show. Maybe I'll call her, see if we can connect with her today and see. I was supposed to do that last week, but I ran out of time. We started talking too much about diving, and she hadn't been diving lately. But, you know, she's our left coast correspondent, but now she's kind of got into ghost hunting and exorcisms and things like that. You know, just your typical everyday California kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
No, not really. But
neither does anyone else, but trust me, it's very entertaining stuff. And, you know, God bless those divers. Out on the left coast for being so. It just makes life that much more enjoyable when you get to go hang with folks like that. Are you with me on that much, at least?
Yeah, Roz? Well, we have divers on the west coast over here. We've got an event happening in Wales in August.
Yeah.
And it's the west coast of Britain. And, of course, that's Wales. And, people are different in various regions. I have to say, it's rather nice going up to Wales to dive.
Yeah, well, do the West Coast folks there have kind of like a surfer UK accent? I mean, no? It's like, you know, in California, it's like, yo, dude, let's go diving, man. Like, it's the surf's up, but like, we're going to go under the waves and like really enjoy some underwater activities. You know what I'm saying, dude? What's up? They don't do that in the UK, do they?
Not really.
No.
It's more, especially in Wales, it's more sheep farming, really, rather than going surfing.
Sheep farming. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that sounds interesting in some sense, I guess.
Well, we have got some pretty awesome diving around the coast of Wales.
Yeah, but it's cold, I would imagine, though, right?
Yeah, but you wear a dry suit, Greg. I mean, you're used to that, and we've got some pretty... I mean, in the UK, we've got two very good thermal underwear manufacturers. We've got Weasel and we've got Fourth Element, and, you know, we've got really superb thermal underwear.
Okay, well, that's all you need, as long as you have something to keep you warm. I actually found a new vendor out there when we were at the Long Beach show that makes some new electrified warming belt that you can wear under your dry suit. So I might get my hands on one of those, and it'll make me a little bit more palatable to these cold water diving conditions. Because I'm a warm water wush, Ross. You know, I'm in Florida. I'm spoiled that way. So I'm, this whole cold water dry suit thing, it does kind of, it takes a little bit more effort than sometimes I'm willing to dive into. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And I'm missing it. I'm missing everything, aren't I? Because I could go dive off the west coast there with you in Wales and go find whales and whales. Or is that even possible? I don't know. Is it?
You might be lucky. You're possibly more likely to see dolphins and the odd seal rather than whales.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of ass backwards, isn't it? You expect if it's whales, you would have whales. What's up with that?
Well, they're having a whale of a time somewhere else.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. No, I've met a few folks from Wales. They're a fun bunch that hang out there as well. I mean, the Welsh, right? They're Welsh folks.
So we've got a huge gang of people coming up to Anglesey, which is North Wales. It's North Wales, and it's the jumping off point to go to Ireland. And we've got a big scuba fest happening there in August.
So what will that entail? Will that be just kind of like the scuba show in Wales, just with people talking funny, or what do they do different?
What do we do different? Well, actually, we go diving, which is fantastic. We've got beach diving, and we've got rib diving, and we've got clubs bringing up their boats, and we've got a curry and a band on the Friday night, and we've got a hog roast and a band on the Saturday night. And then we've got people like Apex Aqualung who are bringing along equipment, and you can go and try out a regulator in the sea, or you can try the CDMC. So we've got things like that. The British Aqua Club, which are quite large over here, they're doing a beach combing thing for the children and teaching the kids about sea safety a little bit.
Okay, and the website for that event is what, Roz?
It's the AngleseyScubaFest.com.
All right, so more with Roz, our UK correspondent, next. Stay close. Speaking with our UK correspondent, Roz, here on Scuba Radio. That's the best I got. It was more of an Australian thing. I'm sorry, Roz. Bill's not here. So
I miss Bill terribly.
Yeah, well, you're the only one. Anyway, you know, we talked about this event you got going on in Wales. That sounds very interesting. That's not just a dive show, but it's a diving event, which you love it when you combine diving and a little bit of exhibits and things like that. That sounds pretty cool. And then you got another one coming up, would you say, in September?
What is it called? It's Saturday the 20th, Sunday the 21st of September. It's Eurotech. Mm-hmm. You know, we've just had Tech Dive USA in Miami.
Right.
Well, this is the sister of that, and it's called Eurotech, and it's been going since 2008. And we've got tickets going on sale on eurotechtickets.com. And it's 40 different talks over the weekend and specialist exhibitors. And we get divers coming in from 20 different countries. So they come in from Greece and Poland and Russia and South Africa and places like that. And it's also for the tech curious. So if you're wondering what tech diving's about and advanced diving's all about, then come to things like Eurotech, Tech Dive USA, Oztech. And you'll hear about techniques and what people get up to and explore. I mean, let's face it, all Porsche owners, your Porsche might be able to be driven at 156 miles an hour, but how many people actually do drive their Porsche at 156 miles an hour? So, you know, come and find out about tech diving and some of the techniques, and you can apply it to your everyday diving just to enhance your diving.
That's right. I get what you're saying. You don't necessarily have to run your Porsche so hot or get into tech diving so extreme. You can still go as a recreational diver and pick up a few tips, which is what I did last time it was in Florida as well. I mean, it's very just great information. From a diving perspective, and they're definitely on the cutting edge is knowing what's going to happen more for recreational diving maybe in a few years. So it's good stuff, Roz. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, and looking forward to speaking to Bill very soon, I hope.
Well, as always, We got a Dan tip coming up next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 276. When the apocalypse comes and the zombies take over the world.
Any zombies out there?
Divers, fear not. You'll have plenty of time to swim to safety as the undead gorge themselves on brain coral.
Don't say that.
What? Brain coral.
That.
This is now the United States of Zombieland.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What do we need to know today, Nick?
Your dive site.
I don't have a dive site.
You do when you're diving, and you need to know it well.
Okay, I'll bite. How do I get to know a dive site? Swim up and introduce myself?
Well, that would certainly be one approach. But the introduction begins before you ever even get near the water. When preparing to visit a dive site, the first thing you should do is familiarize yourself with its location.
Wouldn't that be a given? Otherwise, how do I get there?
You're funny. I don't mean the city and state. I mean where the dive site is located and what factors might need to be taken into consideration. For example, if the dive site is in the ocean, how far from shore is it?
Oh, I get it. If it's land-based, how will you access it?
Exactly. Is it remote, or will supplies and resources be available if you need them?
I imagine the answers to these questions help you know what to bring with you.
Sure they do. If you know where there is no place to stock up on water, for instance, you know to bring plenty of it on your own. Similarly, if you know you're going to be heading, I don't know, 20 miles out to sea, you'll know to have whatever you need with you, as it won't be a quick ride back to the dock.
You know, I remember from another safety tip that you want to check out what emergency equipment and resources are on site, too.
Wow! You just made my day. Seriously?
I feel a little verklempt.
You're welcome.
But you are absolutely right. Part of knowing your dive site is knowing what you'll need to do in the event of an emergency. And that includes knowing what emergency resources are at hand, where's the nearest medical facility, and if any emergency procedures may be in place. Of course, if you're going to be in a location that has no formal dive operation in place, you'll need to cover all of that yourself.
What about the dive itself?
Before you ever enter the water, you should have at least some idea of what to expect. You should know the appropriate water temperature, the basics of the site topography, or hazards you might want to avoid, as well as any information available on currents, weather, and other appropriate factors.
What about marine life?
Absolutely. You should be aware of what marine life may be on the site. Critters are not only part of the excitement of diving, but should an unexpected encounter occur, you should be sure to have the appropriate first aid equipment with you.
So how do you go about researching a dive site?
In today's world, it's never been easier. You're living in the information age, and never has so much information been so readily available about, well, pretty much anything you want to look up. In terms of researching a dive site, the internet is good. Books, magazines, dive centers, and other divers are also outstanding resources, and the list goes on.
What about Dan?
Certainly, Dan can be a resource. If you need to know anything about emergency resources or medical care in the area, give us a call.
So it sounds like the whole point of this is the more familiar you are with a dive site before you get in the water, the less likely you are to run into trouble.
You've got it exactly right. There's no such thing as a foolproof plan, but it's well known that proper preparation and planning significantly reduce your chances of something going wrong. So by taking some time to learn about the dive site you'll be diving, you're taking action to increase your dive safety.
Knowledge is power, right?
You know it.
Exploring new places is one of the best parts of diving. But part of being a good explorer is learning what's already known about a given location. So before you head to your dive site, take some time to learn what you're diving into. A little familiarity ahead of time can help increase the fun and your safety. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That
was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
So we have added a new feature at scubaradio.com through a company called SpeakPipe that is pretty cool from my standpoint, because it allows you to actually leave us a voicemail and get on Scuba Radio if you didn't catch the show live. And you would actually like to come on the air, you have 90 seconds to record a little thing, like a voicemail, from anywhere in the world through your desktop computer, or you can download the SpeakPipe app and do it right through your cell phone. So it's kind of cool because it is worldwide. It's not just in the U.S., which is where our toll-free numbers work, 888-88-SCUBA. So it's kind of nice from that standpoint. And I like it because it does give you another way to connect with us, ask a question, make a comment, file a complaint, whatever you so desire. And actually, it allows us to hear you as opposed to just read the email and that kind of thing, and, you know, possibly put it on the air. So, you know, we have been, you know, traveling quite a bit lately. I haven't had a chance to put many of them on the air yet, but let's go see how we're going. It's basically like a voicemail system. Let me click this button and see what we got.
Hey, hey, Greg.
Oh, great.
Is Greg there?
I was afraid this was going to happen.
Greg, are you in the bathroom?
Ugh, brother.
Hey, it's Scuba Radio. It's Santa Claus.
Right. Drunken Santa, yeah.
Hey, call me back. I want to talk to you about the summer holidays. Merry Christmas.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's just change gears. I got Captain Cocktail on the line from South Florida Diving Headquarters. Jeff is on Scuba Radio. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man? Up in Orlando.
Yeah, well, you know, things are good in Orlando. I'm sure better in South Florida. We got this new feature, though, that allows you to send us a voicemail. And obviously, Drunken Santa's gotten a hold of it. But what are you going to do? Let's focus on more positive things, like Bugfest.
I thought you were going to say Drunken Mickey.
Well, you know, drunken somebody. You know, I'm talking to Captain Cocktail, so he knows all the drunks, right?
we've gone elbow to elbow just with about everybody.
Yeah. Mickey, he might have had a nip or two. You never know.
Mickey still isn't over many, but, you know, that's another story.
Well, hey, whatever they have to do to keep the fire burning. But we'll just leave that one alone for now.
Oh, we're going to be sued by Disney for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be the first time. All right, so Bugfest. We got this coming up at the end of July. The 29th, we have our kickoff party that Tuesday night of July. We got the mermaids. The Scuba Cowboy's going to try to make it down. Who knows? You know, Drunken Santa might even make an appearance. You know, he really has a thing for these lobsters. And, you know, what are you going to do? But you can get all the information at bugfestbythesea.com. And, of course, Jeff, you're going to be running your boats for some of the folks that want to go out there and do some diving during lobster mini season.
The early morning trip, the 6 a.m. trip, we're giving away a computer on each one of those trips. So
wow.
If you want to sign up for that one, plus you're in the running for all the other categories with the lobster, the Florida, it's called the Great Florida Bug Hunt. And the weigh-in is right there in the marina, so it's real convenient. You'll be able to weigh them and then head them and take them off and boil them or do what you're going to do with them, trade them for favors, whatever.
Yes.
So, and then, of course, the big party on Thursday for the final weigh-in, and then the prizes are awarded, and then we have the Lobster Chef cook-off, which I enjoy.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to be a judge, aren't you?
Well, that's what I've been told. I'm going to help judge this. I'm willing to taste lobster tails and decide which one I think is
the best. Get your drinking buddy on this for, you know, a few little morsels here and there.
Wait, you're not going to be one of the judges, or would that be insider?
No, they won't let me judge it.
Yeah, because you got to run the dive boats. Okay.
I can't figure out why, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We could cut a deal. There could be some negotiating going on for something.
Certainly.
Yeah, maybe you let me on the boat
I'll
to go catch a boat.
Massive quantities of rum is usually how it works.
All right, true. Okay. Yeah, liquor me up. You'll get anything you need.
Oh, wait. Can you bleep that? Beep that out?
Hey, you're Captain Cocktail. That's just how things operate down there in South Florida. Captain Cocktail and Liquor Boy.
We ride again.
We ride again. Absolutely. Yes. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. So that's, once again, that's the 29th of July is Tuesday night kickoff party. Wednesday and Thursday is Florida spiny lobster season, so you can do some diving with the dive boat operators down there. And then Thursday night, join us for the weigh-in, the party, the cook-off. And I would imagine there'll be some sampling for everybody on site. And, of course, we'll have our mermaids, we'll have music, a little bit of mayhem, and a lot of giveaways. It'll be a blast. Definitely.
There's actually activities all week, even leading up to the kickoff party and after the kickoff party. They actually have a lobster cookout, too, on Friday night. And, man, I mean, just go to the website. It's Bugfest by the Sea, and there's just all sorts of activities, seminars, things that are going on. If you're looking for a good time and come down and get involved with mini season and win. Oh, by the way,
what?
15,000 in cash and prizes this year.
15 grand is up for
15,000 in cash and prizes.
Sweet.
Everybody wins something. You get a ticket for every bug you catch, which puts you in the drawing, so you can't lose.
I love it.
You can't lose.
Bugfestbythesea.com. All right, we got more with Captain Cocktail next. Another big announcement coming your way. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Release the sharks! Mr. Powers, you'll notice that all of the sharks have laser beams attached to their heads. I figure every creature deserves a warm meal.
Dr. Evil, it's about the sharks. When you were frozen, they were put on the endangered species list. We tried to get some, but it would have taken months to clear up the red tape.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads. Now, evidently, my cycloptic colleague informs me that that can't be done. Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here. What do we have?
Sea bass.
Right.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master on the line with me. Jeff Trode from South Florida Diving Headquarters. We call him Captain Cocktail, the master of the bugs. Yes, we got Bug Fest coming up. And Jeff, you know, before I brought you on, I was talking about our new voicemail feature at scubaradio.com where you can get on the air. And the first one didn't go very well. Let me try one more. Can you hang for just a sec so we can see what they have questions or comments about? You're with me on this, right?
I'm with you.
All right, here we go.
Hello, is this Greg the Lobster Slayer?
Oh, jeez.
Hey, I want to eat some lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Scuba Radio Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And the lobsters sound really yummy.
Yeah, I bet.
So if you could bring me a couple of fresh Florida lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
I would really love that for dinner tonight, and that would be awesome. You take care of Santa, Santa takes care of you.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I hope this gets on your answering machine,
yep. And
you listen to the tape.
Okay.
Play that little tiny cassette tape and play it back, and make sure that you bring me some lobsters. Thank you very much, Greg. Have a good day.
Oh,
call me back.
You know
the number.
Actually, I don't. I don't think he has a cell phone. Jeff, I'm sorry. I thought maybe we'd have something constructive with this new feature that we added, but, you know, what are you going to do? At least he likes lobster. I guess you got to look at the bright side. So it is Bug Fest to look forward to. We got to make sure we hide the address from Scuba Radio Drunken Santa. That may not be a good combination to have him at this event. You hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I remember my first beer.
Exactly. But, you know, you got a new feature. Not just do we have Bug Fest coming up. There's a new activity.
If you're looking for something exciting to do in your downtime, after your dives, we've got the newest thing out. It was developed in France, and it's big all over the world. It's just really getting the United States popularity-wise now. It's called Flyboard. And it basically, it hooks to a jet ski. You got a 60-foot hose, and it goes into the bottom of a small board. It has two jets on it, and it has two boots attached to the top. And you get in, strap yourself in the boots, and we fly you like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. You just hover across the water, and you can cruise and turn and do all sorts of stuff. You actually dive in the water and come back out flying in the air.
Nutty. Now, yeah, I've seen these YouTube videos. They're all over the web. A new activity that is new to South Florida, and you're running the concession down there. Is that what you're saying?
I am. You know, you dive in the morning, and then a lot of times you're looking for something to do in the afternoon if you're not doing multiple dives. So it gives something you can do and have some fun. We got some kayaks now and paddle boards. You can paddle board right from our marina over to the lighthouse.
So is that running right out of your dive area? The same?
Yeah, it goes right out where the dive boats are.
Okay, cool. So you could do a dive in the morning, do some kayak stuff in the afternoon, and in between you could do this flyboard stuff.
We can hook you up.
Now, have you thought about combining flyboarding with lobster catching?
I'm trying to figure out how to slow it down enough to do that.
No,
I haven't quite got that far with it yet.
Yeah, you can't slow it down. You got to keep it at the same speed. That's what would make it even more fun and exciting.
Well, the thing is, once the lobster's out of the hole and starts to run, you'd have no problem chasing him down.
Exactly. How deep can you go down with these flyboards?
Well, the hose is 60 feet long, but you're not going 60 feet. You usually dive down, you know, most you want to go is about 10, 15 feet,
uh-huh. You
know, and you cruise along and you fly back out. We do a maneuver called the dolphin where you dive, jump in the air, dive back down, and jump back up, and you can do a succession of them in a row.
Sweet.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds like
fun. You're getting on it, you and the mermaids, when you're down here, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to do that while we're down there for Bug Fest at the end of July. I love it. And they can go to southfloridadiving.com and get information on that and everything else, I would assume, right?
For that one, you want to go to Flyboard South Florida.
Okay, Flyboard South Florida. Sounds good.
Yep.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much. You know what? Let's try one more voicemail before we finish out the hour. You with me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, are you kidding me?
I swear to God, you never answer your phone on Scuba Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's Scuba Radio. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio.
Yeah.
The first radio show devoted to diving.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Greg, listen, you should have, like, some kind of voicemail options if you're not going to answer the phone. So you can say, like, if you'd like to speak to Greg the Dive Master, press 1.
Ugh.
If you'd like to speak to Bill the Producer, press 2.
Yeah.
If you'd like to speak to the Mermaid Puppet, press... Did I already say 3?
Yeah, you did.
Press 4.
Ugh.
And if you'd like to completely be ignored every single time you call, and then press the pound key.
We need call block.
And then that would just make it easier for not talking to somebody.
Yeah.
But anyway, call me back because I want to talk about lobsters.
Yeah.
And lobster season and catching lobsters.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, okay. Well, sorry, Jeff.
Just waste some more of my valuable time. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you have a good one there, buddy.
All right, man.
Hour 2's on deck. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.